You are listening to the Leukomania Pop Culture Podcast. CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, Leukomaniacs? This is Pat Loika, and we're here with another special wrestling episode of Leukomania. I am, of course, your host, the, I don't know what nickname I should use.
Whatever. The lobster head.
The lobster. No, damn it, that's a shameful thing you're trying to start there. No, this is Pat Loika, and I am joined today by Antonio Cuneo, a.k.a.
Word Life.
Word Life, really, that's it.
This is basic thugonomics.
Oh, really? And, of course, there's Ryan Holiday.
Hustle, world, and respect. That's what it's all about, guys.
And, of course, from graphically speaking, Mr. Brian Lipsitz.
Hello. I'm keeping up with the doctor of thugonomics.
you have a doctorate of thugonomics, really?
Yes.
You can't see me right now, but I'm doing the Marine salute.
Then you gotta run.
I just want my kids back, but I don't know how.
I'm also babbling to the camera so no one can hear what I'm saying.
Oh, man. You guys. John Cena, again, WWE champion.
Supposedly the reason, because I guess they felt that the ratings were going too low. So they're like, well, put the belt back on Cena, and the ratings went up. So I don't know.
It's hard to argue with that.
Well, it's like
it really is
reinforcement for them. It sucks.
It really sucks. But before we get to that particular aspect of things, let's start with the beginning. Let's cover the recent pay per view, the Night of Champions, which really was a mixed bag. You know,
yeah. No, it wasn't a mixed bag. It was pretty fucking bad.
No, man, Mark Henry won, and you know what? I'm okay.
That was only good thing.
I thought the Punk and Triple H match was pretty damn good work-wise. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I like that too.
Okay. You can't say mixed bag because that means there's really, really good stuff and really, really bad stuff. Most of it was bad. There were a couple of good things. I'm actually not as angry about the Punk thing with Triple H as I thought I was going to be. I'm more upset about other things, clearly. We'll take it from the beginning or wherever you want to start, Pat.
We'll start from the beginning. Let's start with the tag match. I thought that it was nice that they gave Evan and Kofi a win because they really need to build them up. And then you want to keep the titles on them so that they will, you know, so that the titles will mean something. And then, you know, these guys are fairly popular. They're fairly over with the crowd. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that they let them keep the belts. Even though, in theory, you know, having Truth and Miz as tag champions would be probably more appealing, it's nice that they're trying to build up these two guys. And I have no problem with that, with the way they finished that up.
Yeah, and plus it led into the whole Miz and R-Truth, you know, thing where we'll get to, but you know that there was a reason why they lost. So
But I agree with Pat, and I said that night on Twitter. I was like, I hope they win, just because if Triple H is like really dead set on like building up the tag team division again, you can't put the titles on I'm not going to call them Air Boom. I refuse to call them Air Boom. on Bourne and Kofi. You can't put the belts on them and then have them lose a week or two later. I think they really need to have a good long run, which is actually something any championship in the WWE has gone without for years.
And, yeah. and honestly, the longest reigning champion they currently have, if you think about it, is Kelly Kelly, which is unfortunate.
Oh, that's sad.
That's actually usually always the case. I remember last time thinking about who had the longest title run, and it was the women's champion or the divas champion or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of the Air Boom, though, that is a terrible name. We need to come up with something better. Like, I don't know, maybe Coborn or something. I don't know. That kind of works better. Or right, whatever. Next title match we'll talk about is actually the Divas title, which we just mentioned. Beth should have won this match in her hometown. Yeah, please. But then it's a WWE, and if you're wrestling in your hometown, you're going to get humiliated and you're going to lose. Which is a really stupid policy that they
have. And also, supposedly the finish got leaked or whatever, and Vince is like a stickler. If somehow the internet finds out the finish before he doesn't want 80 and changes the finish to the opposite. So supposedly that's what also happened too. So, because everyone knew, apparently, I don't know if it was the Wrestling Observer, some site was like, yeah, Beth is definitely going to win. And so I guess there's rumors that that was also possibly why it happened that way too, but who knows.
Man, that's a terrible, terrible to do things.
I saw the rumor online before the pay per view on a website.
Yeah. Well, it just makes sense because you know they were building them up, building up the Divas of Doom, which is awesome.
If you call it building up, they just sat and talked shit, and they were like, "But we're not jealous. We're not jealous."
Yeah, but they were destroying people before that.
Yeah, Pat's right. They were destroying. They were taking out people. I mean, the logical conclusion was for her to win the belt.
Yeah, and then it kind of stalled in the last pay-per-view because they let they had Beth lose, which is a big mistake the first time. Right. And then said they wanted to postpone it because they said she was supposed to win it at her hometown, which I thought the sentiment was good. And then when it finally happened, they were like, "Ha ha, fuck you, Beth. You're not winning this week. You're screwed."
That was good.
That was good.
That was really good.
Yeah, that's what happened. They're like, I bet you.
Can we have Kelly Kelly and Beth Phoenix for the Divas Championship in a Hell in a Cell at the next pay-per-view?
That's probably what's going to happen.
Oh, wow.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know how that's going to look, man. The fact that you're going to be using the ropes a lot more is a bad idea because Kelly Kelly plus ropes does not compute.
Hugh Jackman can run the ropes better than Kelly Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to talking about Jackman in a bit, actually. That guy would do well in the ring. Anyway. That's it for Kelly Kelly.
That match reminded me of something that happened to me while I was in high school. Mm-hmm. It was during the summer where I was working at this beach with a couple of friends, and I guess it was during the Attitude Era, so wrestling was a little bit more popular than it is now. And they were talking about how hot all the divas were, and I just, like, because since I'm a wrestling fan, I was like, yeah, they're hot, but I was like, I hate women's wrestling in the WWE. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, they're not good. They're not good at it. Like, you know, they're not good at it. And then that statement preceded the next 30 minutes of them just calling me gay.
As sad as it is to say, they're not there for their wrestling ability.
Yeah, well, no. I know. But, I mean, there was a period of time where you had people who knew what the fuck they were doing. Like, Beth knows what she's doing. I mean, I wasn't an incredible fan of China or, like, Jazz or whatever, or Jacqueline, but they knew what they were doing. Like,
I don't know about
or
that.
They were doing better than what Kelly Kelly. At least they could fucking run ropes. At least they knew basic wrestling.
I mean, there's only going to be one Trish Stratus. I mean, she was like the Ric Flair of the women's division. I mean, she could make anyone look good.
You know how sad it is when you hear that? But you compared Trish to Ric Flair.
I know. I was thinking of the women's division.
Who else?
That's the funniest thing I've heard this week.
let's get past this one. Speaking of, let's go with Cody Rhodes beating Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
poor
Ted. He was like finally building up momentum, and then he got stalled. But you know what, Cody.
My reaction.
Cody is...
Yeah, my reaction to this match was, they're still pushing Ted?
They're trying and no one cares. So they're just dead. Cody reinvented himself and is like doing fine, but Ted is just like, no matter what they do, he's dead in the water.
Yeah, Cody is so great right now. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
The only real issue I have with him is they need to move past the bagging thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, the bags are getting old, And they need to bring and I hate to be the guy to say this, but Ryan will enjoy hearing this. But, they need to bring back his old music.
Oh, you're damn right. And that sound is my ringtone or my message alert.
That song is hilarious. It cracks me up, man.
It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, man, I really hope – I like the fact that Cody's kind of going after Orton now. Hopefully that elevates him in the Intercontinental title to an upper level, where it belongs. Because in the end, really, the Intercontinental title is the number two belt. It is the original number two belt of the company.
And no, it's still the number two belt. It's still more important than the World Heavyweight Championship. Clearly, from that video package they showed, Mark Henry won the belt, but clearly the WWE title is still the most important thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's been like that forever, though. They've never shown the world title to mean more than the WWE title. The WWE title always has been.
I mean, come on. You remember? Were you guys watching when they debuted that championship again? They just Triple H. He didn't even have to wrestle in a match. I think it was Eric Bischoff when he was still working with them. He just gave Triple H the belt. It's here you go.
Well, I think it's also because it's the SmackDown title, and it's always going to be looked at as the second-rate show, the second-rate title.
Wasn't it last year? Last year was the Raw title, or the year before.
They would switch it around every now and then, because sometimes every now and then they realize, hey, I think we need to push SmackDown a little, and then they would switch up the champions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it never works out too well because of SmackDown being in sci-fi.
It was when Jeff Hardy was WWE champion. That's when they switched.
When Jeff Hardy was still champion?
Yeah.
Later, you're not going to wrestle tonight. Oh, well, that's a terrible Matt Hardy. I apologize.
I love grapes.
That's a lot of fucking grapes.
Then there's the four-way title match with Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, John Morrison, poor John Morrison, and Alex Riley.
Buried.
Man, I don't know. Apparently there was more drama with Melina, and that's probably why he was getting buried again.
Yeah, I mean, he jobbed at the pay-per-view, and then the next night on Raw, which we'll get to, he jobbed in 2 seconds. I mean, hopefully it's over,
besides that, the week before on Raw, he didn't even get an entrance to his match or the big match he was part of, number one. And number two, that was the first time he was on Raw in 2 weeks.
Yeah, remember back in January when he was pushed for the world title or the WWE title, and now he's he's buried. Melina is killed his career completely.
Yeah. Like I said about that,
I remember that match. I think we talked about it in the about that match. And I thought that match, I mean, I'm not a John Morrison fan really, but I thought that match was really good.
Oh, it was. When he's going good, he's can, put together a good match. But when they just let him do high spots and bury him, he's not really,
Well, the thing is, the only thing he seems to do a lot of lately, whenever they bring him on a match, is to do high spots and to make someone else look good.
Yeah.
I mean, God, he would do the standing one man Spanish fly like it was nothing. And it has no point to do that in a move. In that point of the match, which makes me really sad because that move looks so cool when Sin Cara does it. Sin Cara does it looks awesome. Well, the original.
Yeah, Sin Cara. Yeah, the original.
He was the only one who could pull that off.
I was kind of annoyed that Daniel Bryan wasn't on the card for this pay-per-view.
Well, he was in the dark. He was in the dark match, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, against Heath Slater. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Heath Slater. That guy can sell.
The one man rock band.
The one man rock.
Oh, he's Southern rock band now, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what he needs to do?
Oh, God.
They need to really play up the gimmick. You know, he has to come out one day, like, you know, there's a drum, there's a guitar, and then he plays them all at the same time. He's playing drums with his feet, he's playing bass with one hand, and then the regular guitar with the other. He's like, yeah, he's
harmonica,
and then he starts singing, and he proves he's a real one man rock band. They need to do that.
The most elaborate and overproduced WWE entrance of all time.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, and then they put him in a floating drum cage, and it'll be revolving through like what Tommy Lee used to do with Motley Crue.
That's fucking great.
He's like, "Are you with me, Tacoma?"
Oh man!
Then he gets jobbed out anyway because that'd be. Anyway, back to Morrison. Oh, go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say he's pretty close to being future endeavored. I think he's. They don't see anything in him, and he can tell he just doesn't have that like it factor. He's just bland.
Yeah, but he looks. He's man. The guy can sell though. I love watching that guy wrestle. He's actually pretty good. He just needs to have more of a personality. He needs to let the rock band come out of him.
He's suffering from Otunga and McGillicuddyitis.
Yeah,
he needs to be what's this? What do I say? He needs to bust out the. God damn it! I forgot. See, this is what happens. Anyway, he needs to bust out the personnel. He needs to come up with the. He needs to stop coming out wearing those tights of his with the stupid guitars drawn on them.
Yeah.
He looks pretty dumb, and he just needs to come out and just. I don't know, be more... He needs to bust out what Randy Orton was busting out a few months ago with, you know, the random facial expressions and the jumping and the wackiness. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, that'll get him over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Morrison in that match.
Yeah.
I think we were more intrigued by Heath Slater in this particular match, actually. I was happy the Ziggler won. I liked the finish. I thought it made Swagger look really good. Same time, it showed Dolph as a real heel.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're planning on doing with Swagger because now he's part of...
Stable.
Of Ricky Stable, and I think she needs to pull more people in there just to kind of really build it up. It'd be like the new Heenan family. Which would be awesome.
As cool as that was, I think they handled the whole thing wrong from the beginning. To me, it just seemed over before it even started. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they didn't even give each other a chance before Ziggler was like, no, I'm the only one you need, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm like, wow, you guys really want me managed by Vicky? And Vicky's like, you'll make me more money if you just take him in anyway. I don't know why you're dancing around the whole thing, you know.
I think she's great.
She's
mean, if you're gonna be a heel, she's not gonna. There's no one that generates more heat than her.
Yeah, true. She gets some serious heat, which is pretty impressive.
Which is, to me, it's fucking mind blowing after the whole Eddie thing. Honestly,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't understand how she gets the heat she does after the whole Eddie thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, her associations when she started working for the company, I mean, you know, I remember how much heat Edge used to get?
Yeah.
He was absolutely hated, and then he hooks up with Vicky, and then people feel so betrayed because Vicky, was Eddie's wife, you know? And
yeah.
He hooked up with Edge, and they have this thing going, and they were pretty much robbing the faces of everything that they had, you know, in SmackDown for the longest time. And I think that all that built up, and people remember that, and people remember how she screwed over the Undertaker.
I think the real fans, you know, remember Eddie and stuff, but I think the more casual fans see her as just like what she is, like her heel persona, and just like, you know, the heat that she gives off. I think, you know, everyone, you know, remembers Eddie, but I think that's so far in the background now that it doesn't matter, I think.
Yeah. But, I think,
I was just going to say, I think she's a good example of why managers are important and why they should be brought back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also need to bring back Paul Bearer, but they killed him off twice already, so I don't know. I don't know if he can come back after that the last time Edge killed him.
Yeah, he did.
How could the crowd cheer for Edge?
And he never got arrested for that.
Just like the Dudley Boys killed him, put him in like cement or whatever the hell they did back.
Paul Heyman did this bit and then did that whole thing, and then the Undertaker like finished the job. Man.
He's the Jean Grey of WWE.
Yeah. that was the Bearer Force that got killed the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm glad Ziggler got retained. I think he's on the road to becoming the second longest reigning champion currently in the WWE.
Yeah, it's between him and him and Cody at least right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're getting there. I like Ziggler. He's got a great personality, and
I agree. Like what you were saying about Heath Slater, I love the way Ziggler sells in his matches.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
like no one, like I think Kofi's like jump cross body from the top rope is really cool. Like it's just a really cool visual. But the way Ziggler jumps into it and just fucking takes it is it just made so much better by him selling that move.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
such a and that match he had with Orton a couple of weeks ago on Raw made Orton look like a fucking amazing wrestler.
Yeah. He's come a long way from the Spirit Squad.
Yeah.
Mikey! We are. I was
trying to remember what name he had.
That guy. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, Ziggler's. When the previous episode we have, when I was talking to Aubrey Citizen, he was talking about how Ziggler is one of his favorites also. Because Ziggler does this thing that not many people do. He actually talks, and you can hear him talk in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And not many people do that anymore. Not many people do the trash talk anymore. A lot of people are just so concerned doing the moves, doing the spots, and blah, 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 and making sure that they remember their lines.
That's the big Jericho thing.
Yeah.
You can hear Jericho do that a lot.
Yeah.
Call him stupid and, come on, you think you're better? Come on, get up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like that adds a lot more to like the story they're telling.
Yeah. Now you know we're kind of done. You know, giving Ziggler some love. Let's move into someone who's been needing some love for some time in the WWE. And that's Mark Henry. He beat Randy Orton.
Clean. I was so shocked when I saw that. I did not believe that they were going to do it that cleanly. I was like, holy crap.
I was shocked and I was happy and it made sense because they've been building up Henry as this monster. This unstoppable force, this immovable object.
They haven't had a monster heel in a like. I think Umaga was probably the last one they really had that was a huge.
Good point. Yeah.
Umaga. Umaga was the last real big.
I'm with the whole Mark Henry thing. I'm glad like they went on a like whoever they had booking this stuff or whatever. I'm just glad, like, they went, like, completely balls to the wall, which is why I think it failed the last few times they tried to do it. It just didn't work because they turned him heel or whatever, and he beat on the weaker guys. But, like, that was nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
To have him take out Big Show and Kane, who we haven't seen in months now.
Yeah.
And then have that build up with those matches with Sheamus.
And you know what's impressive? The matches with Sheamus, neither of them were diminished by those matches. I mean, some of the outcomes were questionable, but they both turned out okay, and they turned out to be bigger stars. I mean, Sheamus gets a huge pop whenever he comes out.
Huge. And I would never thought he would have worked as a face.
Yeah. And the thing is, there are people with signs, and you see, you know, I never thought I'd be cheering for Sheamus. You know? that was one of the best signs I've seen. And Henry. A lot of people want to cheer this guy because, you know what, this guy's been with this company for 15 years, and he loves doing this. And they finally gave him his shot, and I'm so glad they gave him. And my God, the guy can cut a promo like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
y'all are haters.
Welcome to the Hall of Pain.
I think that's a stupid line, but it's. I think it works at the same time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I'm so happy like they took the ball and completely went in the right direction with this. Because
yeah, this is how you build somebody up.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you build someone up. Because this wasn't just like a heel turn, and now I'm going after the WWE championship. This was a heel turn. Mm-hmm. This was build. This was build. This was build. This was fucking culmination, and a great culmination at that, because he wasn't fucking fed to Orton.
Yeah, and it's the, I don't even think Orton's gonna, you know, win the belt back at Hell in a Cell. I mean,
I hope not.
No, the way they've been pushing him, I think they have long term. They see him as a long term heel champion. I don't think Orton's.
I hope so.
Which is good, because and another thing that helps out is that the ratings for SmackDown are fucking terrible anyway. So it's not putting the belt back on Orton's gonna fucking change anything.
Yeah, so I think they're ready to experiment anyways on SmackDown and see. So
yeah, and. God, I'll be honest with you, the match wasn't that great, but
it was all right. Yeah.
It was okay. I mean, for a Mark, that's probably one of the better matches Mark Henry's ever
had. It was what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good storytelling. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an amazing match by any means necessary, but it told a story, and it did its job.
Yeah, it really did.
The match did its job.
Yeah,
and everything that they were trying to say. I'm sorry, I keep putting you off. Uh-huh. Everything that they were trying to say with that paid off, and now Mark Henry is a complete and viable threat, and no one can fucking deny it now.
Yeah, they better not fucking feed him to Cena though.
I don't think they'll do that. Unless they combine the brands, I think that's the only way you're going to see that.
They're already crossing over a lot because the SmackDown guys are part of Raw now. I want to see Henry destroying more fools.
Mondays in the ending. Yeah. Well, you notice on Raw when he, so we'll talk about later, but when he did that, what he did on Raw, I was waiting for Orton to run out, and the fact that no one ran out shows that they're ready to like just keep pushing him as a heel and not having babyface run out and you know get the heat back on the babyface, you know. So I thought that was a big way to you know show that they're in for the long haul with him.
I was worried that you know like during the match I was worried because there's nothing has happened. I was waiting for like the Big Show, Kane, and then the sound guy that he threw away to show up.
So was I actually. I was going through all the scenarios in my head. To like think, all right, how are they going to make Orton keep the belt?
Yeah, because they protect him more than anyone, and they didn't this time. I was just like, that was what's so shocking is he just did his finish exactly. Strong and pinned him.
Yeah,
it was just crazy.
I was like, all right, Big Show. That's why I was looking online for rumors. I was like, if I see like a headline that says, "Oh, Big Show is backstage at Night of Champions," or Kane is backstage at Night of Champions, I'm like, oh, well, there's the finish to the Henry Orton match.
Well, here's one thing. One thing we could say about this match is that, well, Orton was not hearing the voices that night.
No, not at all.
And for all we know, he probably didn't take his bus to the arena, and that's probably why he lost. Well, there's going to be some kind of excuse. Anyway... We'll move to the match that enraged me, and that's the John Cena and Alberto Del Rio World WWE title match.
Go, Antonio.
Go for it, man.
Antonio, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just
hide your children, folks.
How many times can I just fucking say how much I hate John Cena and how much he just fucking ruins everything for me? I'm actually speechless. I honestly have more to say about the build up towards this match than the actual match itself.
Go.
Because like,
do it.
This whole it actually has a lot to do with why I'm a little annoyed with wrestling right now, and it's the whole fucking behind the curtain thing. Like that promo that John Cena did, like right after Del Rio won the belt, but then like later
I was there for that.
But then like, oh yeah, you were. But then like a couple of Raws later, when John Cena was out, and then Alberto Del Rio's music starts playing, and John Cena's like, "Oh, his music's playing," and then he's gonna come out with the car that he doesn't know the name of, and he's gonna fucking beep the horn. And Ricardo Montalban's gonna come out and announce him in Spanish, and all this. Like, Why? We know wrestling is not real. We know it's staged. We know there's people who write this shit. There is no fucking reason to constantly remind us that it's not real. There's no reason, which is why a lot of the Triple H Punk stuff annoyed me too, because it was week in and week out, just constant, hey, Paul, hey, Phil, you can't do this. Wrestling only, WWE only supports the guys who are big and strong, blah, blah, blah. Rey Mysterio, oh, champion, you need to pay your dues. Bro. It's like, what the no, shut up. Stop talking about things we talk about. Talk about, fucking tell your story. Don't fucking remind us that it's not real. It takes away from the fucking product.
I don't know. The thing with John Cena is, I think, like, when he was shooting with Punk the past 2 months, I didn't mind him because he wasn't doing the jokey. When he's serious and he cuts a serious promo, like the promo he did against Vince and then the promo when he had the contract signing with Punk, he's fine. It's when they portray him as this goofy, fun-loving babyface. When he's serious, I don't mind him. I think it's just when they do the stupid, you know, goofy, he's going to run. Yeah, comedy, yeah. John Cena, where he gets really fucking annoying.
But it doesn't make any sense. Who the fuck is laughing at the constant reminder that Del Rio doesn't know what car he's driving to the ring? Besides the fact he's the only fucking asshole mentioning it, number one. And how the fuck does he know that Del Rio doesn't know? He doesn't fucking ask him. Or when the one time he did, Del Rio's like, are you serious, bro?
was he all like just Zack Ryder and shit?
Yeah, like he was looking at him like, what do you want me to answer? Like, fucking really, ask me a different question, you retard.
The problem is, though, back to the match, is that Cena can, you know, fuck it. That match was really good. He can wrestle a good match. Yeah. That match,
mm-hmm,
and it just was, the finish was so bad where, you know, if they had him beat him kind of like in a heart, but it was like he put him in the middle of the ring, put him in his finisher, and they had him tap out. And I was just like, why would anyone now want to see a rematch when you've completely destroyed Del Rio in the middle of the ring? It's just like, right. If they had Del Rio win and then give the belt to Cena at Hell in a Cell, at least that would have made more sense booking-wise. Mm-hmm. But again, from what I've read is they got panicky over the Raw rating and they were like, oh, we got to put the belt back on Cena. And of course the rating went up. So again, it's fucking annoying. But on the other hand, they just got positive reinforcement that people want to see Cena with the belt. Cause that's what, right, in their mind is what business. They think.
But then again, yeah, what's two more weeks?
Yeah, I know.
The fucking pay-per-view is in 2 weeks. If honestly, you, I mean, because that pretty much goes with everything that John Cena said. Yeah, you know what? After this, the one time he faces John Cena, Del Rio faces John Cena for the title, he can't fucking cut it, and he lost. Yeah, this guy's not fucking championship material.
Well, that's why they put Punk in it now. So
you can't fucking wait the 2 weeks and have him beat the shit out of him in a Hell in a Cell. That would be more plausible and actually more beneficial to Del Rio's loss of the championship if he lost in that Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry.
And here's the thing, that rating spike.
Yeah.
I bet. People just want to see what's going on with the Miz and Truth thing and Triple H and CM Punk more than they would be care about the championship situation, because that was an intriguing angle right there at the end.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's just how black and white they look at it. And like Vince is like, oh, it must mean, you know, that people enjoy Cena with the belt. And it's like, it doesn't matter how many times you give him the belt. They care about his storylines and intriguing storylines. Although the ratings have been keep kind of dipping, even though they've had this intriguing Punk CM Punk Triple H thing, so I don't know. Maybe I think they should just not worry about the ratings at this point and just continue with. Yeah. They shouldn't let the ratings dictate them. That's the problem.
At the same time, I did feel that the Triple H Punk stuff was lacking because there was so much, you know, like there was so much waiting between the last pay per view, which was.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam and United Champions. There was 6 weeks. yeah. of build.
Yeah.
As opposed to the two we have now to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
There was a lot of time to fill, and it got really repetitive. And I think people were like, you know what, I'll tune in for the pay-per-view or the Raw after. But right now, at week four, at week five, when they keep repeating themselves with the same shit, it's kind of getting boring.
I'm not trying especially, to make excuses, but, you know.
Especially.
Sorry.
Another point that annoyed me during that whole thing was the stupid contract signing on that live SmackDown.
Are we moving to this the
week after on Raw when Triple H was like, oh yeah, I'm making our match no DQ, and Punk's like, all right, well, if you lose, you're not COO anymore. Completely making WWE waste more paper drawing up a new contract.
I think the problem was not to make excuses, but the original plan was for Nash to fight Punk, and then they must have had to shuffle things around, and obviously it wasn't. They were
shuffle quads trouble. Around.
Yeah,
as much as I'd like to make it to go to the Nash jokes, before we continue any further. Are we quite done with the Cena Del Rio thing, or are we because I am not sure, because all of a sudden it became, I don't remember segueing into this. Oh man, you guys, Antonio, you got really carried away there. You got covered two matches.
Yeah. Oh, hey, man. You asked for it. You were like, go. I was like, all right.
Man.
So, all right, back to Cena and Del Rio. I think, like I said, Del Rio, it was just a bad idea, and like you said, we'll see. I don't know. I hope. He was such their big heel. I don't know why they would do that, because now there really isn't anyone left for Cena to fed.
The thing about him is they built him up for a fucking year.
Yeah,
a monster of a badass heel, and then after he won the title, he beat all these contenders. He beat Daniel Bryan, he beat Morrison, he beat all these guys, and he looked really good.
Ray.
He beat Ray too.
And storyline.
Ray out of commission.
Ray.
He put him out of commission. And what happens? He gets beat.
He gets fed to Cena. You know what it was? I think another thing is. You know, now we're going to talk about behind the scenes stuff. Is that he was booked to win the heavyweight championship so many times, but then they backtracked on that, and then the whole thing with Edge happened. That shit got fucked up, and when they saw their opening with the Money in the Bank, and then with him cashing in on Punk at SummerSlam. I think they just decided to pull the trigger, and I think they pulled the trigger too early. I think they just wanted a big, shocking ending to SummerSlam, and they got it, and that was it. That was short term planning.
Could be.
And they decided not to follow through, or they just Brian said, they fucking panicked, and they're like, oh, we're gonna put the title back on Cena as soon as possible.
I mean, I assume. Not to jump ahead, but since we're talking about this match, they're doing a Hell in a Cell. They're doing Del Rio, Cena, and now Punk in a triple threat. I'm assuming Punk is going to get screwed out of it. Someone's going to come in the cage, whether it be Nash, whether it be someone. I'm assuming Punk is going to or Miz and Truth. I'm assuming Punk is going to take the fall, and I would bet that Del Rio is going to beat Punk. And that way, they don't have to pin Cena. I'm assuming that's how they're going to do it. So I don't think. Del Rio's gonna not be cast aside now and never. But again, it's sort of a roundabout way of getting right back where we were. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh well. You mentioned getting ahead.
Yeah.
Let's get ahead.
Yeah, but then that I don't know. I think that causes more problems than it does, because we're gonna be back in the same spot. It's gonna be Punk versus Nash or whoever.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Cena and Del Rio again, and then. Mm-hmm. People are going to
But then they got Survivor Series, so they've already got that mapped out. So, I mean, which is going to be the big 5-on-5. So, I think at least.
All right, instead of, 3-4 weeks of Del Rio being the champion, he gets another 2-month run?
Yeah, no. Who knows? They changed their minds so many times. We could be, whatever.
I know.
So, all right, Pat, take it away.
All right, we are. Since we want to go ahead, we'll move to that. You know, we'll move to that other match that we kind of got into for some reason. And that's the that's the CM Punk and the CM Punk and the Triple H match. Yep. On the line is the COO Championship of the World. Yeah, it's Night of Champions. You know, something has to be on the line. My the COO title is on the line.
I don't have any ideas.
Time to. I thought it was actually a really good. They worked well. They did a good, you know, brawling outside the around the mm-hmm. the outside in the arena, and it was entertaining. Yeah. And I mean, for the you know, before I'll let Antonio go, I know people are upset about the CM Punk thing, but I don't mind it for the fact that it took it took one pedigree they didn't count the second pedigree he kicked out of, and finally it took Nash Power a jackknife giving and then a pedigree to pin him, so it wasn't like they just had Triple H pin him and be like
they
protected him very well.
They really did, and the fact that it took like how many guys and
all
how
the
many
run-ins and yeah
and how many
yeah.
ref bumps to finally beat Punk. Yeah, I'd say they did a good job keeping him, you know, at the top level. It was a pretty good match. Actually, you know, they brawled quite a bit. Triple H he looks like he's been pounding on those donuts though.
He looked a little pudgy. I was surprised. I was like, huh?
Who's the skinny fat ass now?
No, he's just a real fat ass now.
I like the Punk Macho Man spot.
Yeah. Man, that was scary though. Man, he looked like he was flailing in midair. Like, what is he doing?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was not good. I was like, oh crap! But luckily, he hit it and no one got injured. Because if he had injured Triple H, God forbid, what would have happened then?
Like, what do you do? Oh man, yeah, that would have been a shame if he injured Triple H. Triple H would just get an excuse to not have to go to the ring anymore.
Yeah, he's gonna say it wouldn't have really mattered because it doesn't look like he's gonna be wrestling anytime soon. Yeah. So.
Yeah. The most intriguing bit is the attack, you know, the many, many attacks and the text messages that are being sent. I'm trying to figure out what the genre of like text.
You know what? After this whole text message reveal thing, I kind of feel bad for Kevin Nash that he had to text himself.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, you stole my phone and texted yourself so you can make yourself seem important and powerbomb someone at SummerSlam and become relevant again in the WWE, only to be so fucking old and frail and let us down when we actually wanted you in a match.
We did.
I think the first time we saw Lerner Nice and the first time he texted on the show was like, he was texting and she's like, hey, how are your quads doing?
Yeah. You okay, bro? Are your quads ready to go, bro? Yeah.
And then like at the end, like, you know, in that final match, he's like, okay.
I sent you.
Yeah. can you start coming down now? And then like, you know, there's a long wait between the text message being sent and Nash heading out. And you saw how Nash was slowly going to the front, and then he does his thing, and then of course he had to help him out of there too.
The sledgehammer shot, I guess. I don't know if it was too stiff or what, but yeah, I guess they had to carry him out. So
that was the funniest part of that pay per view.
Oh yeah, I bet you were like,
I love that. That was great.
Sledgehammer out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh man. Kevin Nash. I don't know. Will we ever see Kevin Nash again? I don't know, but nobody
probably
cares.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Unfortunately.
I have a feeling. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, go for it.
No, he hasn't hurt his quad yet, so he
Yeah, he's got to have a run until he hits his quad, and then he'll be gone again.
He's going to be like the only active WWE superstar that doesn't actually wrestle. Because whenever they just keep threatening us with the thought of him coming to work to the ring.
Yeah.
It's like Nicolas Cage doing the Superman movie. He's been promising to do it, and that's kind of like Nash right now. He's promising to wrestle, and nobody wants to see it happen, but it's going to happen. And hopefully it just ends up like the Nicolas Cage Superman movie, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. God damn! There's a lot of rage. There's a lot of anger towards Kevin Nash, and even I have it now. I think it's just fun to hate that guy.
You're welcome.
Oh man. So yeah, the Miz and Truth thing was probably the best part of it because like I'm trying to figure out why they're doing it. Where are they coming from with this? And it's just. The attack itself was pretty well done, and trying to figure out whose side are they on? Why are they beating both guys up? And then then they put Punk over Triple H, and then thinking, why did you beat up Punk? And then since I realized they probably don't like the guy.
There was also a period in that match where it looked like Punk was going to win, and then Truth pulled him out of the ring.
Yeah, which was weird. And then Triple H and Punk were teaming up at one point and attacking both. And I'm like, this is like all sorts of weirdness. And
I there was a lot that I didn't get about the whole finish.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I assume where they're leading is that they're going to be on Laurinaitis and Nash's side. I don't know if they're going to form a stable or what, but I'm assuming that's where
they're leading. NWO.
It's going to be the JWO, the John World Order.
The LWO again, and stuff. This time it'll be the Laurinaitis World Order.
Yeah. Oh man.
The text World Order.
Yeah, TWO.
Sorry.
I keep interrupting.
No, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's the only logical thing I can think of is that they're on his side and they're going to get brought back that way. I mean, like Nash, that's the only thing I can think of, so.
Yeah, Ryan, what are your thoughts? You've been quiet.
I'm so afraid of Antonio. I don't want him to throw blood on me or anything like a red lantern.
Hey, just as long as you're not John Cena, we're cool.
I guess I just thought it was kind of an overbooked mess for a while, the main event, with the texting, Awesome Truth attacking everybody to just get fired the next day. But I am curious to see where it goes. It just really reminded me of a bad episode of Thunder. So I think I'm in the
minority. Oh my God, Thunder. Well, that's awful, dude. Thunder.
Well, of all the run-ins that really didn't make sense.
Or an episode of Impact, yeah.
Oh, man, you give an episode of Impact.
Yeah. Isn't that on right now?
It's going to be on in an hour of my time.
It's on right now over here, but yeah, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I think it's ending right now in your time. Which makes you lucky because at least you don't have the temptation to watch it. I still have the temptation ahead of me.
Come on, don't you want to see Sting versus Hogan at Bound for Glory?
No, thank you. speaking of TV shows,
Hulk Hogan is wrestling the Sting. That's never happened in wrestling ever.
Not since 1997. Oh my God!
Wow. Oh, so you mean that not only are they going to wrestle for the first time in over 10 years, but it's been over 10 years since they've wrestled each other, so they're over 10 years older. That sounds like an amazing match.
Oh God! Anyway, we'll talk about Raw in a second. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break.
The truth has set me free.
And we're back, round two. we'll talk about Raw real quick. Raw was actually very interesting, even though it wasn't particularly strong, but it was a very interesting show.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the wrestling was decent, whatever little wrestling we got, but I think the development of the angles were great. There was something that kind of bothered me, which was kind of something that's kind of dumb because Alberto was asking for the rematch and they said he wanted to rest, right? I mean, he was asking for his rematch and Triple H offered it to him that night. He said he wanted to rest and then he goes and has a match with John Morrison anyway. That was kind of odd.
Yeah, that doesn't really make logical sense, but, you know.
But he made short work of Morrison in, like, 3 seconds.
Oh, God, that was a complete burial, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, they needed to get, you know, Del Rio over again by get some, you know, stuff back on him after losing the belt the night before, so.
Yeah, but he's taking from a guy who's been buried.
Oh, I know.
I mean, John Morrison, like, you don't think of him as the Sultan of Sex anymore. He's like the king of jobbers now.
I hope Malina's worth it.
Yeah,
I kind of doubt it.
Man, have you heard that woman scream on live TV? That's awful. You're gonna have to just imagine being in bed with that creature.
Did you guys read what Batista said on his Twitter? He's like, I cannot believe they released the hottest diva in WWE history, and I'm just like, wow.
I was like, yeah, I read that too, and I was like, what?
Well, yeah. You know, Batista tapped her.
Batista ran a train through the friggin' locker room.
Oh, God.
It was, God, that was just, man, poor John Morrison. I like that guy. He really.
Yeah, but he needs to learn not to let Melina, like, ruin his career, because that's who he's got to thank for all this, pretty much. I mean, you know, they released her, and then he stupidly brought her to the show the next time. Like, what kind of, like, stupidity is that? Like, they're gonna let her in and be like, oh, hey, we just released you, come on in, you know. I don't know.
Anyway,
yeah, I mean, I know you get family members and stuff there, but even that I don't think is that often, that happening that often.
Well, I think they wouldn't have cared if it wasn't someone they had just released, like, 2 days before.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll start from the beginning of Raw.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the opening of the show. It's like the old Attitude Era where Austin comes out at the beginning of the show, or Austin and McMahon thing. But now it's Triple H and Punk. And I thought it was a pretty good opening, because I like the fact that Cena kind of acknowledges that, you know, maybe he was wrong.
Yeah,
and then you have Triple H coming out interrupting him, which was unfortunate because that's kind of par for the course these days with the WWE. I like their exchange. And then of course John Laurinaitis came out. God, that guy, that guy is as charismatic as, I don't know, as my shoe. it's just, I don't know.
What are you talking about, Pat?
That's pretty good. He sounds like Sergeant Slaughter with laryngitis.
Yeah. Let's remember, his biggest claim to fame is being in a tag team where they had skateboards. So.
Oh, man. Him and Shane Douglas. They need to bring them, they need to come back. They need to pull Shane Douglas out of retirement and then have him and Johnny, you know, team up one more time.
Dynamic Dudes Reunion 2011. Yeah,
Dynamic Dudes versus Airboom. Or Coburn. I want to call them Coburn.
That's pretty good.
It's easier. Yeah. So, yeah, that happens. What else happened in this show? I guess Swagger officially becomes Vicky's newest client.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they had the great Hugh Jackman segment, which I thought was fantastic.
There were many Hugh Jackman segments. I thought Hugh Jackman was great. You could tell he was probably a fan, and if he wasn't, yeah. He was really good at faking it because.
No, he was. I don't know. I mean, I don't follow him on Twitter, but I saw something on Facebook. I think Lagana posted something, and it was a picture of him in the Brooklyn Brawler, because apparently he's a huge fan of the Brooklyn Brawler. And
The first
time I saw him was in Sydney in like 1987.
Apparently, he was
finally meeting him. Apparently, like, he was, I read online that people fucking loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. That makes me even, you know, more pleased of what happened in the show, and the fact that he got to knock out Dolph Ziggler.
Apparently, giving him a hairline fracture.
Oh wow, that sucks. Or
did he? I just actually read today that it wasn't true, but.
Oh yeah, they may be working it. Who knows? But nonetheless, yeah. he did a fantastic job. I thought, like, you know, when they bring in celebrities sometimes, and you can tell the celebrities don't care; they're just doing it. But like, you could tell he really genuinely enjoyed it and was like having a good time.
Yes, let's all remember the Jeremy Piven Summerfest.
Oh my God!
Well, he got to sleep with Kelly out of that, so Jeremy Piven won, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I know she can't run the ropes, but can she rock the note? Oh,
man. Well, there's probably a lot of people that can answer that.
Ari probably gave him all kinds of shit. He was in character the whole time. Well, actually, he pretty much plays the same character every time you see him these days.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, man.
But, the whole Jackman stuff was really cool, though it won't fucking get me to see that fucking movie he's in.
No.
I'm going to see that movie. It looks like a lot of
fun. Fuck that.
Oh.
Robots.
Dude, robots.
It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got no problem with that.
I don't know. I just think it looks kind of stupid. If
this
I
episode
really
of Lookamania is sponsored by Real Steel.
All I'll say is that it definitely looks better than that fucking...
Your voice is fading, Antonio. Where are you?
Yeah, you're fading into the abyss. Uh-oh.
Am
I here?
I can hear you, but you're very faint. Do you have a mic
barely
on?
Okay.
Where are you? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now you're
there. You go. There you go.
All right, I'm going to have to edit that.
To my computer then, I guess.
Yeah.
He looked at a picture of John Cena and he got his power back.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Channel that rage.
Yeah, man. That movie looks like a lot of fun, and this is really not the time or place to talk about it, but yeah, I thought I'm going to watch that movie.
But I also thought the segment was useful because it showed – it really, you know, it put Dolph over as a huge, you know, like main event heel. Like the fact they let him do this stuff with Jackman, which I thought was good as well. So.
Yeah, and of course it puts Zack Ryder over too. Yeah.
But Zack Ryder was awesome. Ryder winning was pretty great.
Yeah, he beat the U.S. champion, and he was teamed up with Wolverine.
He was wearing a Broski headband. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't Ryder the WWE's longest reigning champion now with his internet title?
This is true.
There you go. But is the internet championship a WWE recognized championship by the WWE?
Hey, they've been referring to it. You know, they've been calling it the internet championship. I'm surprised he hasn't been walking out to the ring wearing it.
I think he's defended it at house shows.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The worst part about that is Michael Cole talking, which was actually like the greatest thing that happened on Night of Champions was him losing his voice.
Oh yeah, by the end where he was just like he could barely talk.
Yeah,
like
you guys who's ever listened to this podcast heard the rage I went into when I was talking about John Cena. Michael Cole had pretty much the same reaction when he won the championship, except Michael Cole lost his voice.
Yeah,
and it's great because for pretty much the entire Punk Triple H match was called by Lawler, who I fucking hate, but it was called mostly by Jim Ross, which was great. But then, you know, Ross starts and I'm like, oh, I hope Michael Cole is dead.
Oh, wow.
Dead?
That's a little strong. I don't wish death on him. Because he's basically Vince's spokesperson. He's getting fed lines by Vince the whole time.
Vince is screaming at someone. It's probably him. He was going ape shit backstage with that smut last Monday.
Yeah.
He's probably yelling at Cole, what's the matter with you? What a maneuver!
One, two, kicked out.
Speaking of dead announcers, Jerry Lawler almost became one at the hands of Mark Henry.
That was true.
Awesome.
They did not gimmick the table properly, apparently.
No.
Yeah.
And that pissed Vince off even more.
They should have set something up so that Lawler should have checked the table before anything else.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a shame, but you know what? Anything that happens, and again, it continues to build the legend of Mark Henry.
Exactly. There you go.
The Hall of Pain grows.
The new legend killer. Yeah, man. He killed the legend killer, for God's sake. He killed the legend killer.
Yeah.
Which is quite great. I know Antonio is also not a fan of Randy Orton, but... oh, Antonio. You make me smile.
The worst part about all of this is people probably, like, he hates everything about wrestling. What does he want? I fucking love wrestling. I just need to sneak it in.
Oh, man. Anyways, what else happened? I mean, I think we'll kind of get to the main point of Raw because, and that was the firing of The Miz and Truth, who were awesome the entire time. I love their segments where they're apologizing, especially Truth because he was just funny.
I was like a little kid who were in the principal's office.
He's like, I'm even sorry where the little Jim is. what are you saying? And then he called Triple H Trips.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, man, that cracked me up. So great. Yeah, he called him Trips. And I was just laughing the whole time. Like, oh, my God. Truth is so entertaining. I'm so glad that they – yeah. I'm so glad they went with this direction with him because it's just refreshing. You know, he's such a great, great worker. Yeah, and he's hilarious.
That's another character that had nothing going for him. Mm-hmm. And then they just completely did like a 180 with the character.
Yeah.
And everything that he's been doing since, every stupid thing you think he says actually fucking leads to something. Everyone thought when he was talking about this conspiracy crap or whatever, everyone was like, yeah, he's just bullshit. You know, this is R-Truth bullshit. And then The Miz is like, hook, you know, like buying into it, and now Punk, and now you actually do have some sort of fucking conspiracy going on. It could be like the worst kept and the worst happening conspiracy. I mean, for obvious reasons, what's happening, you know, the whole mess that the match between Triple H and Punk ended on Night of Champions, but it's still something. And now with them being fired, it adds more intrigue and more like, oh, what the fuck's really happening? What's going on? What are they doing?
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't see heels getting fired. I mean, the heels are the ones that are being treated like crap, which doesn't really happen often in wrestling programs, you know?
Yeah.
Just
another point that I wanted to bring up, and it's actually cool that they're keeping that intrigue that they build with Punk over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, like that whole I need to watch because I want to know what's going on next, what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And they kind of shifted a little bit to bring in more people into it. And it's working. Like, I want to know what's going on. Like, we all know they're not really fired, but, you know, it's like you just got rid of two top heels on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this episode is going to come out after SmackDown airs tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I read SmackDown spoilers, and Triple H comes out at the beginning of SmackDown, and he says, anyone who, I don't know if it was, like, pisses him off or, like, touches an official or just breaks the rules, period,
mm-hmm.
is getting fired. So something's happening. They're building towards something. And, you know, like, again, like our constant prayer for this, let's just hope they don't fuck it up.
I just want to make one quick comment about the main event on Raw. I thought it was interesting to note how high up on their list Punk is, because in a switch, they usually have Cena play the huge, you know, baby face that when in a tag match, the guy will tag him at the end. He'll come in and clean house. But they actually had Cena play the
He was a baby face in peril. You know, he was taking all the heat. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had Punk come in and hit his finisher on Miz, and Punk was the one who got, like, was standing tall at the end. So I thought that was interesting where, you know, always it would have been Cena, but it shows that they see Punk up in that same, you know, upper echelon with Orton and Cena and Triple H now. And, you know, I think that's a good sign, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially with this being the third pay-per-view that Punk has been headlining.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I read online that they were going back and forth where, like, oh, they were having a really, like, hard decision about what should be the closer for the pay-per-view. And I'm always of the kind that, honestly, if you have a world championship match on the card, that should be the closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just me, even though it is Cena and Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I'm kind of glad that they gave it to Triple H and Punk.
Yeah, because the COO title means more.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest title.
Yeah. Man, that's a hell of a title right there. Ryan, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was going to comment on how important the CEO title was. I'd love to see them make a ridiculously gigantic belt for him to wear.
CEO belt?
And I'll have a picture of Triple H's face on it.
if you're in the corporate level of the WWE, you have to wear your own belt. You have to have a title belt. That would be awesome. Everyone comes to work with a championship belt. I would totally be down with that. Okay, well, I mean, the ending of Raw saw, both Miz and Truth getting thrown out by a bunch of wrestlers, including some guys that we haven't seen in a while, like William Regal. And it was cool to see him. And Brodus Clay. Like, man.
Yes.
They really
need to do something with him.
Yeah, he's great, man. That guy has a presence. That guy is huge. He's really capable. So I know he's been tag teaming with Ricardo Rodriguez at FCW. I want to see more of him in the main roster. They need to bring him back. And they need more monster heels. I mean, they could bring him back as a face and have him go against Mark Henry. I think that'd be interesting, to say the least.
Hmm.
That'd be cool. They have the same kind of gimmick. They're both monsters, yeah. And I think that'd be fun to watch. And Clay. Clay can work, and he can also sell. He's really good for someone that young, So hopefully they do something with him. Let's talk about the other news. First, we'll talk about some TNA stuff. Hogan's going to wrestle again. Why?
Why, God, why?
No, the thing is that poor guy, man, he's done.
I don't feel sorry for him at all. He's a fucking idiot who's doing this to himself. And after the shit he said about Edge, he can fucking die in the ring for all I care.
I'm just saying, what is the
plow?
He can barely move. How is he going to take bumps? He can't even walk. How is he going to have a match? And Sting is like barely able to do anything. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, he did a bang up job taking care of Ric Flair in that match.
Yeah,
serious. Oh my God.
It's like a comedy of errors in that company. I can't. You could think they would at least put him on like a tag match or something, but no, they're going to have them go one on one, which is going to on the big their big quote unquote WrestleMania. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. In Philly too, which is a hot wrestling crowd, they're going to shit all over that if it's bad.
And how long has Samoa Joe's losing streak been?
Oh, man. I don't think he's won anything since then. He lost again in the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, they said he's like, I guess he's been talking to Punk and basically saying he wants to get the hell out of there. I don't blame him because they've done nothing but destroy him. But I don't even think WWE would take him at this point because he's so beyond, rebuilding. I don't even know what they would do with him.
Man, they could do something with him. I think they could.
They'd totally do something with him.
They like their guys big and he's big.
They'd be fucking stupid not to.
Yeah. They could build him up as the next Umanga.
Just say he's Umanga. Just paint him this.
Joe is too damn talented to be wasted.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
He's so good. And when he really gives a damn, he busts out some amazing.
Yeah, you can tell he just doesn't really. He's just going through the motions at this point.
Yeah.
He knows it's bad. It's it's sad. All the guys that brought them to the dance, all their guys that used to break down and give 5-star matches are now like pushed to the backs they can have. So
Big Papa Pump can continue to be there, but although Big Papa Pump does make me laugh a lot,
he does.
He has the best promos in the business.
you can have hours of entertainment on YouTube just watching him try to cut.
No, like you guys seen that the history lesson where he gives
the math one.
The math one's great too. But I thought the history lesson's even better. It's like, you remember the Pearl Harbor when the Pearl Harbor bombed the Germans? It's D-Day over again, baby. I'm like, what? Like, remember the Hero Jima? that guy, Scott Steiner. I want to thank that. If I ever meet him, I want to thank him for all the hours of entertainment he gave me.
Seriously, he's fantastic. Oh my god.
Yeah, and then you got Matt Hardy.
Oh my God!
Man.
Whoever thought Jeff would be the stable Hardy right now?
Oh man!
I never thought that day would happen.
Yeah. I you know what? I blame Edge.
Well, he's been arrested 3 times in the last month, and yeah. then this last arrest, he got arrested for what Jeff got arrested for, which is just like having loads of pills in his house.
His girlfriend basically ratted him out. Yeah.
Oh, man. It cracks me up. The whole thing with Jeff, actually, you know, he got sentenced finally, and it cracks me up as to how he ended up with those drugs to begin with. Someone mailed him a coffee can full of drugs.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Oh, it was a fan.
It was a fan, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the fan decided to hook him up. Hey, man, you want me to send you some drugs? Like, how does that even come up? Hey, dude, I know you like drugs. You want me to send you some? Like, what? How does that even work? It makes no sense. God, what an idiot.
All of those guys in North Carolina, you know, Shane Helms, you know, all of them there, all seem to be like complete fuck ups. Honestly, they're just awful.
Poor Helms, though, man. Like the car, he got like motorcycle accident.
Oh, that was too bad. But again, I mean, the Hardys are just like, I don't know.
The Hardys, they couldn't cut a promo to save their life, and now they can't escape drugs, which is a damn shame.
They're at least he's going to supposedly rehab, sponsored by WWE now. But,
yeah, of course, leave it to the bigger wrestling company to do something for him.
Yeah, obviously. Know. Well, TNA just released him. The fact that TNA fired him, it was like, wow, TNA doesn't fire anyone. And the fact that they fired Matt Hardy.
And he was still having flashbacks of being with Lita. You know, Lita, you're not going to wrestle tonight. You have a bad neck. Seriously, dude?
Maybe they heard making it. Maybe she's used to like doing an intervention with him. Maybe he's still like stuck on her and Edge. Knowing Matt Hardy, it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh man, I remember the promo he was cutting on Jeff when he was a heel in the WWE. He was talking about how they could all be together again. You and me, we be the Hardy Boys again. Like, what the hell? Oh God,
best Southern accent I've ever heard.
it's pretty bad, huh? I know
I just remember he had like the and people who say, oh man, you know he was never given a fair shot. You know, he got that angle handed to him with Edge and Lita, and Vince gave him the ring to cut a promo, and he bombed. And since that day, I don't feel sorry for him. You know, he had his chance.
Yeah, and the thing with he was kind of an underachiever ever since then. Yeah. I mean, remember like the days before they let him go, man. You see that gut he had going? That was that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, you guys saw that drawing someone did of him.
Mm-hmm.
There was this drawing that went around on the internet. Of him just fucking fat with like fucking man pits and his gut hanging over his fucking belt, his hair completely messed up, his like fucking unshaven but like spotty beard and just like a retarded look on his face. It was one of the funniest fucking things. I was like, that looks so fucking like him.
Party version 2.0 or 3, whatever the fucking version he's on now.
Version overweight.
Version my career is over. Oh my God.
And you know, the thing is, what's sad is that guy had a lot of potential and he wasted it. He had he was given a lot of opportunities. That guy is the most over guy without a job right now. Let's be honest here. Because that guy shows up in the ring, people pop, you know. Even in the Impact Zone, he gets some love.
Sells merchandise.
Yeah, he sells merchandise. Even when he had that stupid cold heart Matt Hardy gimmick, that was. And that guy was not made to be a heel. He can't do it. I just remember the promos he cut on Jeff, where he's like, "I was the one that burned your house down, Jeff." Like, what? No. How could you do that to your own brother? Your own brother. And then, oh God! He did that thing where he said, "I'm the one that killed your dog." I'm like, oh, what the hell? Yeah. That's so not Matt Hardy. I really hope, though. Honestly, I mean, we've been joking about him, but I really hope things work out for him because I don't know if he'll be able to make a comeback at this point. Nobody want to hire him.
But, he's got to be looking at jail time. Has to be.
Yeah, well, you look what happened with Jeff. He had 10 days of jail time. But the thing is, combine Matt Hardy with all the accidents, the stupid attention hoarding he did on YouTube and all that stuff, he's going to be pretty dangerous to have out there. So I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope he find, you know, I hope the guy finds his peace, and I hope he, I hope things get better for him, because it would be sad if he becomes another wrestling cliche, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that the business doesn't need any more of that, and, you know, he needs to, you know, he's still young. He can still find other things to do, if not pro wrestling. Yeah. So he just needs to get out of it and make something of himself and stop cutting promos.
And stop posting suicide notes on your friggin'.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for attention.
Get off your
Twitter. That was like the lowest. At that point, I was just like, you know what, dude? You're like, you deserve anything you get at this point. It's just like, here.
He needs help.
He really needed help, and I'm glad the WWE did something for him, which says a lot about the company.
They offer that to anyone. They've offered it to Scott Hall.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want him to become the next Scott Hall. God, Scott Hall was like one of my favorites since I was a kid, and the fact that guy has had so many trips to rehab and it never worked, it just saddens me. And then when I saw, you know, that infamous video of him, you know, just barely making it to the ring and getting in, just being completely screwed up, it's just, it's so sad. I don't care. And while Matt Hardy was never my favorite wrestler, I thought he was a decent wrestler. I don't want to see that happen to anyone. Nobody deserves that. Not even him.
Yeah, I don't wish him any harm, but you know what? Like, from the first time I saw him, I was like, this guy is not comfortable in the ring. to me, he just never looked comfortable. He was always stiff looking.
And that's why Lita left him.
Nothing came natural to him. And that's why he became the Lesser Hardy, because while they became a bigger tag team, mm-hmm. it was clear that Jeff was the fucking superstar, mm-hmm. and Matt was there for the ride.
Yeah, he's basically hanging off with his coattails. And, you know, and of course, and he's not like Jeff, who can do all kinds of stuff. Jeff is also a painter.
Yeah, Team Extreme. Extreme was Jeff doing shit off ladders, you know, like flips and shit off ladders and the top rope, and just, you know, Jeff had a lot of botches, but Jeff was just trying to do a lot of stuff and entertain people. With Team Extreme, what was Matt's extreme move? A fucking leg drop from the second rope.
Speaking of the Hardys, one of my favorite Jeff Hardy moments was when it was an episode of Raw, and they were backstage, they were interviewing Eminem, and mm-hmm. you see Jeff in the background painting. And I think it was Morrison that kicked the painting, and then he just goes, "That's my painting, man!" he throws the paint on Melina and Morrison. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know. I keep remembering that. I just go, "That's my painting, man!" Oh man, he was so pissed. But what other news related things have come out?
Claudio
signed, yes, with the WWE.
Yes.
I'm not quite sold on his new name, but you know what? That they got him. He's fantastic. I can't wait to see.
What's wrong with Antonio?
Because you have that name already. We only have room for one Antonio.
That's right.
I'm just saying that because I don't want the rage of Antonio directed at me. I don't know. But then again, I don't know how many people have heard of Ring of Honor, and I don't know how many people know of him, his previous achievements. So I guess it doesn't matter what his name is. Oh God, I just did a rock line there. But it should be interesting to see what they do with him. Hopefully,
The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, coming back to Survivor Series.
Oh yeah, and you're going to be in the Survivor Series, you jerk.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Wow. Lucky you.
Yeah.
You get to watch Return of the Rock teaming up with John Cena.
Yeah, and supposedly,
I'm like praying to God it's good.
I think it's got to be. I'm going to the Raw before Survivor, the run right before Survivor Series.
Oh,
hopefully,
really?
The Rock might be there, but who knows?
Via satellite.
Via satellite. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's teaming up with Sheamus, and I forgot who the other. And who?
It's CM Punk. CM Punk.
CM Punk, and Sheamus, The Rock, and Cena. What an odd team, but.
And then there's one other person they still haven't decided on who's going to be on the team. And then they're going to fight Del Rio and his team, whoever that's going to be. Yeah. So.
Probably Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Maybe Kevin Nash.
No.
Fingers crossed.
How about Brodus Clay instead? Yeah,
there you go.
Connection. Or maybe they could team up with Ricardo Rodriguez. I'd rather watch that guy wrestle. Because that guy is hilarious.
Let him call the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Spanish.
That'd be great.
Oh man, that'd be great. I love Ricardo and Alberto. They're just such a great team. I hate it whenever they get buried.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
They're probably like one of the best acts that they have going there, and they're not giving them enough love. I thought, even though they gave him a title run, but like I said, they cut it way too short, too soon.
Yeah.
And
at least he got a longer run than Christian.
Yeah, it's weird. That's one thing I wanted to mention about the pay-per-view. When Christian came out, he's got this weird thing where the fans like still don't want to treat him as a heel. He gets like a mixed reaction, and I just don't think he works as a heel right now. I don't know. The fans still seem like they want to cheer him, and he's just sort of stuck in like this weird like purgatory
limbo.
Between face and heel.
Especially after last Friday with SmackDown being like Edge Appreciation Night,
yeah,
and the constant reference to them being best friends, like how do you just shit on someone who got taken out the way he did from wrestling, who was at the end of his run was just one of the biggest faces at the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to realize also that Christian, in all his career, despite he's getting these huge pops, and man, he's done some diabolical things.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a super heel. He's probably look what he did to Matt Hardy. I'm almost certain he damn near ruined his life if he really didn't, because what he did with Lita. Yeah. You think about that, and then you think about how he's like, man, why are they at odds with each other? They should be teaming up. He should be helping him.
They really made the big mistake when they turned Christian heel after Edge left. I really think they – I know they needed to have a heel at the time because they didn't have anyone, but it really screamed of like this – that would have been the best opportunity to push Christian as a face because everyone who loved Edge would jump on his bandwagon and, you know, but what can you do?
Yeah, I'm really hoping Christian has a good future ahead and maybe like an actual lengthy title reign, and that's not just for a month.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it considering all the work he's put in. Pretty much any match they put him in, he made better.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet he could put a good match out of Mark Henry. You know, I think he could pull that off.
I just the thing about Christian, he needs a new finisher. The kill switch is.
It's too convoluted to put together.
Yeah, you absolutely.
It's not one of those moves that you can just slap on and then boom, it comes from out of nowhere. No, there's like this big, like okay, he grabs him, then there's this long pause, and then he has to turn him and put him in position. Like and then they realize, oh, it doesn't work. and then of course when you do the actual drop part of it, it's kind of unwieldy, to be quite honest, because you could drop first and then the guy's still standing up. Like what the, it just failed.
Yeah,
it has so much opportunity to fail. So yeah, he needs a new one. I think maybe he should use the impaler, the implant DDT. I think that'd be cool.
There you go.
At least you with that you can like hit it a couple of times.
Yeah, and also it could be funny too. I mean, if you want to continue building him as a heel, it'd be like okay, he's stealing all of Edge's moves. That's a slap in the face right there. You know, he does the spear and he does the impaler.
Doesn't Riley use that now?
Oh, yeah, he does. Damn it.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He does.
He's one of those guys that's like, oh, man, he was hot for a while. Then you realize it was just his theme song that was hot.
Yeah, his entrance is more popular than him.
That guy. I think he has potential. He's pretty charismatic when he wants to be.
Yeah, he has potential, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, I think he got thrust way too high too soon. And then you realize also the only reason he got really over is the fact that he was fighting The Miz, and The Miz had such heat going for him that they'll cheer for anyone who beats him up.
I can't believe. I mean, I understood. I think we talked about this last time, and I understood why Miz needed to lose to Alex Riley. But, like, after the shit booking that was Miz's title run, give him a fucking win.
Yeah, well, he's I guess he's kind of on the rebound right now, I guess, but which is nice. And like I said, he's part of probably the best part, the best angle going right now. I mean,
yeah, he's got huge things going.
Yeah, I don't even know if the Punk thing is still involved. I don't even know. Well, we'll see. I guess Punk still has to be involved in that thing because it's a big conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. I'm hoping that, you know, Miz and Truth do something by themselves and they're not just lackeys for someone, because they're two strong personalities that really don't work as, you know, like as lapdogs for anyone, even if it's John Laurinaitis, especially not for Kevin Nash.
I love Truth's new rap.
Yes. Yeah. And what's also great is how Miz is going along with the rap. He has no rhythm. He can't.
He's the greatest hype man since Flavor Flav.
Yeah, remix. Oh. I wish they put out an actual MP3 for that song. I'm sure they will.
I would get that song
because that'd be hilarious. You suck. Yeah, Austin Proof is the best thing to happen to Raw in a while since CM.
They've
been phenomenal. I really am excited to see where they go. So on that note, speaking of go, I have to point it out. Every time I get a segue, I have to point it out because that's just stupid of me to do. Where can people find all of you in the internet? We'll start with you, Antonio. We'll go alphabetical order.
All right. Usual spots, Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is ThwipStar.
And it'll be in the show notes, and it'll be spelled properly.
Thank you.
And Brian?
What?
You can find me on Twitter at Xander Harris, and also you can find my podcast, Graphically Speaking, on Twitter at Graphic Speaking.
Yeah, and we will link to your actual show website as well so that people can check it out. You've had some pretty good interviews coming up, right?
I do. I have Christos Gage coming up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christos Gage is a fantastic writer. Avengers Academy, and of course the Buffy and Angel and Faith. I was never into
Buffy Universe.
The Buffyverse stuff. So we'll link to you guys so people can check out your show. Ryan, where can people find you online?
Kind of the usual places. Follow me at Twitter at Beta Ray Ryan. Xbox Live. I just got Gears of War 3 today, so. Hop on there and help you fight the Locust.
I can imagine people adding you on Xbox Live. I heard you at Leukamania. I'm here to destroy you.
I can't wait. I know what'll happen. And you can find me on Facebook and Google Plus too. I'm that guy.
Yeah, so. You're okay. Actually, I got a message when I noted on my Facebook. I'll be recording with you. One of your broskies let me know that he wanted you to he wanted me to tell you. To give him his bro love. That's James McGee.
Oh, yeah. He's a Dragon Con survivor, too.
All right. I really am. Is that what we're referring to them now? The survivors? I mean.
pretty much.
It sounds like we just went through, hell. And then that place, that con was all sorts of heaven. I can't wait for next year because that was way too much fun.
And it's already booked. Can't wait.
Yeah. I might hit you up, by the way. I haven't set up my room thing yet, but I might hit you up. Antonio, Brian, you guys need to hit that con up one day because it's fantastic.
Well, we will see you in 3 weeks at New York.
Yeah,
we will be in New York. That'll be fun. Yes. Or I don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks when you hear this, but yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
All right.
What?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
If you are still listening, I want to say thank you for listening. You could, of course, find me at about.me/PatLoika for all my social networking stuff. Twitter is twitter.com/PatLoika. And once again, I am asking you to please stop by iTunes, find our page, and leave us a review because it would be greatly appreciated. It increases our visibility. You know, you can find, you know, when the more people leave us positive reviews, the more people can see this thing. So it will be greatly appreciated. And of course, thanks to our pals, our sponsors over at cheapgraphicnovels.com, where you can get graphic novels from major publishers for as low as 45% off. That's it for now. We'll be back in a few days with another episode of Leukamania, one of the regular episodes where I'll probably be interviewing someone or I'll probably be talking to someone about something. So you guys take care, take it easy. And remember this, if you're going to hire Kevin Nash for something, be sure that he's cleared to work. I'm just saying. And good night.
And I want to give it all to you. Yeah, right on. I'm right here for you. I know it's going to be good to you. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, baby. Baby, it's time that you know. My love is growing. And I just can't pretend anymore. Because my love is showing. Baby, I'm down on my knees. Yeah, right on. And I'm praying for you. Let's just stop for a while. Stop all these games we play. Cause I have to show you how I really feel, baby. Gonna give it all to you.
I'm on fire. Cause I know it's just you and I. Well, I'll hold you.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of Pat Loika. You can reach Pat by sending an email to loikamania@gmail.com. This has been a Dial R Studios production.